Do you think that if you really belong to God and did everything according to His will, that you would ever be mistreated? The several trials of Jesus of Nazareth that are reported in the Gospels of the New Testament are not only exhibitions of injustice in court, but they are exhibitions of the treatment that was given to him, exhibitions of harsh cruelty. When we see how the Lord Jesus was treated by the soldiers, those that arrested him, in the courts where he was tried, we can see both what he suffered for our sake, and we can also see how cruel man can be to man. Perhaps every Christian should read one account of the crucifixion at least once a week for a while to realize what actually happened. I would say to any of you, if by any chance you have a feeling that your personal interest in the Lord Jesus Christ is not as strong as it might be, maybe you don't fully appreciate him, then I would suggest that you take your Bible, that you locate the stories of the crucifixion in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Just locate them, mark the Bible at that spot, and then follow a plan that each day you'll read another one of those stories. Read it slow. If possible, read it out loud. And just see exactly what really happened, and then remember that this happened for you. Now, I know that the tendency on the part of some of us would be, well, let's just go past that. We know that he was crucified. Let's just go past that. No, let's not just go past it. Stop and look at it. This is the price that was paid for you. You'll never know how the Lord Jesus loved you unless you will look and see what it cost him to save you. And if you will do that, it will actually help you. Now, I'm going to read over these few verses in the 19th chapter of John's Gospel. We're studying in the Gospel of John. We're now at chapter 19. I want to begin reading at the first verse, and I want to make comment about these verses. In some cases, I'll tell you just what the verse actually means, what it refers to. In some cases, I will try to refer to what it implies for us. For instance, in chapter 19, verse 1, then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. He had him whipped. Now, this was not because Jesus of Nazareth had done something wrong. This is not because he misbehaved himself in prison. This is not because he had in any way been impudent to Pilate. This was the routine thing. Apparently, this, whenever a man was counted guilty, then one of the things that happened to him was that he was whipped, and he got this scourging. Now in verse 2, notice, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head and put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." You recognize what that would be, wouldn't you? You know that the word had gotten out that he claimed that he was a king. The Jews had talked about this. This was the reason that they had such hatred for him. He didn't only say that he was a king, but he said he was the Son of God. And he claimed that God was his father, making himself equal with God. But what he particularly claimed to be was to be king. And he had said this, and they had heard it said. So now the soldiers, in making fun of him, with a crude kind of cruel horseplay that they carried on, they plaited a crown. He had to have a crown, so they made a crown of thorns and jammed it on his head. Then they put on him a purple robe. He was supposed to wear a purple robe. You can imagine it wouldn't be a good one. And they'd get some purple and put it on. They hung it on him and said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and smote him with their hands. They struck him with their fists. And they slapped him with their hands. And this went on. We don't know how long, but long enough. It went on as an indication of the treatment that the soldiers would give to a man that was counted guilty. Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you that you may know that I find no fault in him." This is another time that he said this. He had said it over and over again, and he's trying to say it again now in a way that will affect them. Then came Jesus forth. He was brought out before them, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, dressed up almost like in a masquerade. It had been made a fool of him, dressed up like some clown in this way. And he was pushed out like this. In your own heart and mind, I'm sure that you will feel a certain amount of distress even as I talk, but I don't want you to miss the humiliation. I don't want you to miss the shame. He was belittled. They made fun of him. He hadn't said some of the things that they said, just the way in which they said them. He said them in a different context, but they felt that he was dangerous to them because he wasn't saying the same things and the little things that they said, and so they held it against him, and they were afraid of him, and so on. But he had admitted that he was a king. They didn't understand him when he said it, but then he had said it this way. And then they treated him in this fashion. They belittled him and put on this mock crown of thorns with its cruelty and this purple robe and made him a spectacle, so to speak, a laughingstock. And Pilate said unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. Here it comes again. He has repeatedly said this over and over. And in one of the other Gospels we find that Pilate took a basin of water and washed his hands by way of giving a public indication, a public gesture, that he wanted no part or responsibility in what they were going to do with Jesus of Nazareth. Now, actually, so far as we're concerned, we don't think the washing of the hands did any good. We don't think that made any difference. He was the governor. He was the man whose word counted, and he had allowed them to take him, so we feel that he was personally responsible about that. But here we have it, that this is what happened. Then Jesus answered him, or the Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. This is a kind of a rationalization, and in a sense it is an empty rationalization on their part. They have to give some reason and why they're going to put him to death. And then they tell him that they want to do this because he said he was the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. Pilate didn't like any part of this. He was uneasy because he didn't like any part of the whole movement. He knew that it was all being done on a shallow basis. And he had tried himself to stop it if it were possible. He didn't know what to do without jeopardizing his political fortune. And he didn't want to do that. He wanted to just go on and be a big man in his political career in any case, and he didn't want to be stopped by this one incident. And so he had not done anything, but he had been uneasy. He had been concerned. When he heard that Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, then he was the more afraid, and went into the judgment hall and said unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. This has happened over and over again, and here it is again. He didn't say a word. Then said Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and I have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And this really and truly affected Pilate. We read here in verse 12, And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him, because Pilate was disturbed by the things that he had said. But the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. And, of course, this was the magic word to affect Pilate. When Pilate was told that his political future was at stake, and that if he let this man go, the report going back to Rome would be bad because he let a man go who might conceivably cause trouble against the empire, when this was done, then they warned him, the Jews said that's the word they'd require back. Then he was afraid and he let him go. And from thenceforth, in verse 13, you'll see when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and turned him over to them. Now in all of this, as you watch the way in which it went along, on the part of Pilate, on the part of the soldiers, when you see this whole thing, you will see that there was nothing really personal. I know that conduct of the soldiers was barbarous, and I know that what they did was cruel, but they would have done it to any prisoner. And he was a one that was easy to make a bigger lot of fun about him than anyone else. But so far as he was concerned, and you and I are concerned, we can know that he suffered this indignity and he suffered this shame going through with it on our account. And you will also have in mind again as we think about this that He did not attempt in any way to escape it. He went on through with it and allowed this all to be done, mocked and abused in this fashion. When you stop to think that God allowed it to be done, After all, Almighty God is a living being. In heaven they saw this take place, and they let this thing take place. Actually, we read in Scripture that the angels desire to look into these things. It is a scandal in heaven that Jesus of Nazareth, who was the Son of God, was actually put to death by people not worthy to tie his shoes, but he had been allowed to have this thing happen. And as I say, when you think about it, you can feel in one sense there was nothing really personal against Jesus of Nazareth. They didn't really know him, but it was man's response to God. And that's the way you can feel today when you have people who stay away from church. When people are staying away from church, they don't stay away because of Jesus of Nazareth. They don't know him. They just do not want to turn to God. And when a man doesn't read his Bible, it isn't that he doesn't want to find out about Jesus Christ. It is he just doesn't want to hear from God. So when a man doesn't pray, it isn't because he has anything against God or has anything especially against what would happen if he got an answer to prayer, but he just doesn't think he'll have any answer, and he's just opposed to exposing himself to the humiliation, and so he stays away. This is the way in which it was back in those days, with all the responsible people turning aside from their responsibility, letting matters take their course. This happened then, that Jesus of Nazareth was put to death by these people in this fashion. Our God and Heavenly Father, our hearts are humbled when we read about this, when we think of what he suffered for us, and we pray that thou wilt help us to appreciate him and to serve him more and more. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.